It's an unbelief until the wedding of the Lamb. As God drove Naomi from Bethlehem, that Ruth might be brought to Boaz, so God predicted and planned that Israel should also be set aside, driven out of her land, while the church, the bride, was being prepared. That time, we believe, is very, very near, with Naomi's nation, Israel, already politically back in the land as a nation. Now, I realize that many of you will object to the statement that God, in his sovereignty, made it impossible for Israel to receive her king. But there can be no other answer. Hundreds of years before, God had said they would not receive their king when he came. And to prevent God from being mistaken and the Bible wrong, it had to come to pass. I hope you can get that through your head. In Isaiah 53 and verse 1, the prophet, looking ahead to the coming of the Redeemer, foresaw the rejection of Christ and cried, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" He clearly foresaw that he would be rejected of men and turned down. Isaiah clearly foresaw and foretold this rejection of the Redeemer, in spite of all the clear prophecies whereby he might have been recognized. And the balance of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and I recommend it to you for your reading, gives an unmistakable prophetic picture of the rejection and the death and resurrection of this Redeemer. If therefore the Messiah were not rejected, it would discredit all the prophecies of the Old Testament, including this one. We might refer to scores of other prophecies, but we mention just one more, the 22nd Psalm. In this 22nd Psalm, we have a most complete prophetic picture of the suffering and death of the Redeemer. It opens with the very words that Jesus uttered on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 22:1. And then follows an unmistakable and detailed account of the suffering of Christ, the piercing of his hands and his feet, the casting of lots upon his garments, his terrible thirst, and then his death. You see, God foreknew all this, and he had planned it thus, that by the rejection of the Redeemer, by this nation, salvation might come to all men everywhere. Now, all of this is suggested by the experience of Naomi, representing the nation, driven from her land, forsaken by God, in order that Ruth might be found and saved. In the prophetic application of this, we see a very striking parallel between the rejection of Israel by God and the rejection of Jesus by Israel. Israel was rejected in order that the Gentiles might be saved. Israel suffers vicariously for the salvation of the world. It became a vicarious sufferer that others might be brought in. And so Paul tells us in Romans, referring to the setting aside of the nation after they had rejected the Savior, take down this reference, Romans 11:11. That's easy to remember. Romans 11:11. Listen, "I say then, have they stumbled," that is Israel, "that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." Through Israel's rejection, Christ went to the cross, and by it, God's plan of redemption and salvation can now be offered to all. But Israel shall be restored and rewarded. Like the Lord Jesus, they died as a nation, and they were buried among the Gentiles, that God's salvation might come to all. But there's going to be a resurrection too. A resurrection of the nation of Israel. The dry bones shall live. And so Paul continues in Romans 11:12. "Now if the fall of them, Israel, be the riches of the world," how wonderful, "and the diminishing of them, Israel, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness." What a wonderful deliverance and restoration is in store for this dispersed nation. All of this, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He too was set aside and forsaken by God and died that we might live. by the determinate foreknowledge and counsel of God. He was destined to be our Redeemer by his death. And he too arose and lives today as our Savior. May I ask you in the closing moments of this broadcast, do you personally know him? Have you, like Ruth of old, made your decision? The cross of Christ blocks the road to hell. You can, if you will, choose to be lost, but it will have to be over the dead body of the Son of God and by wading through his own precious blood. Oh, my friend, with the plan of salvation so clear, receive him. Receive him today before it is forever too late. Well, I see by the clock that our time is just about up. I don't like to stop abruptly in a message like this. I'd rather try for a sort of a graceful three-point landing, but time doesn't permit it, and so we'll just have to depend upon you to be with us in our next broadcast. But a thought strikes me. Some of you aren't going to be with us at the next broadcast. A lot of you are not going to hear another broadcast. And so I must ask you before closing, are you ready to meet that Redeemer? Are you ready for that inevitable meeting with the one who died to save you? If you're not, won't you just lift your heart where you are and cry in faith to him and say, Lord, save me, a poor lost sinner, for thy name's sake. And our Father, we pray that many, many may lift their hearts today before it is too late and be saved by the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the finished work of Christ to the hearts of repenting men and women for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Been listening to the weekly broadcast of the Radio Bible Class coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. DeHaan's message today on the mystery of the ages is available in printed form to everyone who writes asking for it. A 32-page booklet,
March 16, 1958,
is published each month by the Radio Bible Class and is sent to all of our friends who are interested in this Bible teaching ministry. The address of the Radio Bible Class is easy to remember, just Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's all you need. The Radio Bible Class, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So send that card or letter this week and ask for the booklet by name, The Mystery of the Ages. And now with a closing word, here is my father, Dr. DeHaan.
Do you know why Jesus spake to the multitudes when he was here on the earth in parables and in mysteries? What is the purpose of Christ's use of parables in his teaching? Is the definition of a parable, which you learned in Sunday school, correct? You probably were taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Bible, however, says that parables are designed to hide the truth rather than to illustrate it. Listen in next week as we discuss why did Jesus speak in parables and clothed so much of his teaching in deepest mystery.
Now, this is Richard DeHaan speaking for Dr. DeHaan and the entire staff, and urging you to keep on praying, working, and watching. Today's program came to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, the United States of America. CBS Radio, serving the Midland Empire, KOOK in Billings, Montana.
This is Alfred M. Grunther. On December 31st, I completed a most gratifying first year as president of the American Red Cross. Okay.